Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Reed on the line with me. This is somebody that there's just no way to wait. We got to get into this because he's just a contagious and interesting, different, and in an all sort of good way. Greg Reed, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Contagious without the flu.
Yes. And I dove right in because I usually like to do a little setup and start talking about who we're going to talk about and why. But I didn't want you to wait because I want to hear all the interesting things that you're doing. Greg has written a couple of books here that I know about. There's probably a lot more. But he's got quite an interesting background. Filmmaker, motivational speaker, best-selling author, and also an entrepreneur. I love all that. And the book we're talking about today, Thoughts Are Things, Turning Your Ideas into Reality. And you have a co-author on this one, Bob Proctor?
Yeah, the famous Bob Proctor. Most people know him from The Secret. We always talk about law of attraction and what you think about naturally comes to be. You know, and then we took that a little step further here with this project and kind of ran with it.
Well, and that's why I wanted to dive right in because, you know, and I'll start with the devil's advocacy right up front. Let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Greg challenged me to see if he could answer all my questions. So here we are. Can we think?
There is not a Bigfoot. Yes, there are aliens. And the meaning of life is what you make it. Go ahead.
Well, we'll start with the last one that is the subject of our conversation. And that is, can we can make life what we want it to be. We can impact our lives. And can we do that by as simple of a thing as thinking about it?
No, and absolutely not. It was funny. The first people that don't know my background, I'll give you guys a quick little thing. I've been published in 56 books, 45 languages, and all that good stuff. And I've been honored by the Napoleon Hill Foundation. They carry on the teachings of the 20th best-selling book in history called Think and Grow Rich. And the very first words of that book are, thoughts are things. And what we did is we wanted to expand that and to see if thoughts truly are things. And we've discovered that thoughts backed by massive action become things.
Okay.
If thoughts were things, then right now I'd be a pizza because I'm kind of hungry, right? So if you have the thought of a pizza, walk across to the pizza store and get a pizza, then it becomes reality. You must take the action behind the attraction.
Excellent. Because, you know, there is plenty of that kind of think it and it happens, but, you know, let's sit in a circle and sing a song. I mean, all of that's out there, and people start thinking, okay, no, I don't want to hear that because, you know, people naturally say, well, where's the beef? Where do we make this happen? So I appreciate your perspective on that. So in moving forward and thinking about things and having the right approach, what's the right mindset? What type of mindset helps us be more successful? Because that's what everybody wants in relationships and their finances and their families. What mindset? What type of mindset helps us be more successful?
Well, the other book that you were going to mention is Stickability. It's The Power of Perseverance. And again, let me just reframe this for people, is that for what happened is Napoleon Hill was given a letter of recommendation, and he met with Carnegie, and he met with Einstein, Edison, the Rockefellers, and he picked their brains to find out what they did. Well, 100 years later, I've been traveling the world, and I get to pick the brains of the guy who invented the cell phone or the credit card or NASCAR or building the elevator to space and find out how their mindset worked as well. And in Thoughts Are Things, we actually sat down with Holocaust survivors that were interviewed for Schindler's List to say, How did you survive such an ordeal? How was your mind? From there, we sat down with amazing business leaders that started things like JetBlue and TED Talks and all this other. So what we did is really dive into the mindset of what these people did. And one thing they had was stickability, meaning that they had the power to persevere no matter what. If you give up, you'll never have an opportunity to see your dream come true.
Okay, so we stick to it, the stickability as you call it. That's the mindset we go into. So we go in knowing whatever it is we're going to do, we go in knowing that we're going to stick with it. Does that frame us up in a way, does that create a not to overuse the word, but is that in that kind of mental outlook or focus that I'm going to stick with it, does that then lead to other thoughts or ways of approaching problems or challenges that come along?
Well, one of the greatest interviews I did was a guy named Marty Cooper who invented the cellular phone. And I said, you know, what does stickability mean to you? And he said, stickability has to be parallel with another word, flexibility. Because if you're not willing to adapt and adjust, you get stuck. And he told a story about a spider monkey. He said, in the rainforest, you can't harpoon or spear it. It's too quick. One hunter figured it out. He took a heavy log, drilled a tiny hole, left it at the base of the jungle, dropped the peanut inside the hole, and the monkey would smell the nut. Comes down, reaches his hand inside that little hole, grabs a hold of it, and his fist becomes so big he can't pull it back out and become anchored to the log. Hunter comes by, hits him over the head, captures the monkey. Now, all he's got to do is let go, but he thinks that nut's saving him. And the moral is, in life, are we holding on to our own nut? But it's in the form of a bad job or relationship or fear or guilt. Sometimes we have to have the courage and the flexibility to let go so we can live to fight another day.
That sums it up. We'll just repeat that for the next 30 minutes. No, that's outstanding, Greg. We got to think outside the box and think differently about stuff. So the flexibility running parallel to the stickability, adapting and changing and evolving. So we've got a mindset that we're going to go into it. We're going to stick with it. We're going to have some flexibility a part of it. Now, what about the failures that come along the way? We've heard the thinking or the talk about embrace your failures, and the flexibility obviously is key because things are not going to go the way you expect them to, but there's going to be mistakes and errors that occur. How do we incorporate that into this mindset?
Yeah, the whole embrace your fear thing, I think, is ridiculous. I mean, the fear, you know, failures suck. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And they're not happy. And
I don't like them.
Yeah, it's just, it's tough. And so in my counsel from all these many years is, you look for something called unexpected opportunity. One guy I interviewed, his name was Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A restaurant.
Sure.
And I said, how do I become a billionaire like you? And he said, stop planning and being too connected in what you're doing. I said, what do you mean? He says, if I want to get to the end of the street, he goes, that's my goal. He goes, a planner plans every step where they're going to pause and take a break. I'm going to look for an opportunity, like a kid leaving a skateboard or a bicycle out and making my journey shorter. He goes, if I get real lucky, I'll wave down a neighbor and I'll hitch a ride to the end of the street. He says, either way, I'll get to my goal. I'm just not so caught up on exactly how it has to happen.
Hmm. I like that. So when opportunities present themselves with this thinking, are there any specific things that you've gleaned that in pursuing those opportunities that you can, again, with this accelerated idea of moving further and faster down the line, because again, the folks listening to this, Greg, they say, okay, that's great if the opportunity presents itself, but what do
okay.
I do? How do
well,
I make
I'll,
that
I'll
happen?
I love it, and I'm going to give you the answer.
Yeah.
One of the greatest interviews I did with a guy named Steve Wozniak, who founded co-founded Apple Computer. He's the guy who actually made everything. Jobs went out and sold it.
Right.
And I said, how did you and Steve have so much success in your life? And he said, we embraced what we did not have. And I went, what do you mean? He goes, everyone looks at their lack of what they're missing, and they wonder why they never make it in life. He goes, when microchips came out, they were so expensive, we could afford one. I sold my van. Jobs sold his electric guitar, and we chipped in about one microchip.
Hmm.
He goes, I took a Hewlett-Packard machine that go from point A to point B with 20 chips because they had all the money in the world. He goes, I'd pull away five, and I'd get it to work. I'd pull away five, get it to work. Till finally, I figured out a solution to go from point A to point B with our one chip. He goes, we weren't trying to be cool or slick. We could only afford one chip. But by embracing that as an opportunity to find the shortest, cleanest path, we change the way people will be doing personal computing for the rest of the world for the rest of their lives.
Hmm. So stories like this are in your book. The thoughts are things turning your ideas into reality.
Well, not like it. These are the books.
Okay, these are the stories. Okay. Well, I know. I didn't know if I was getting one for free, if that was one of the ones that were included in the book. But
Exactly. Well, it's interesting. When we were doing between these two books, and especially the thoughts are things, you know, one of the things that kept coming up is the founder of TED Talks. And I asked him, I says, you know, what's your mentality? Why do you do 18-minute talks? Why do you do them in weird locations? Why the thing? And he goes, just to be different.
Hmm.
And he says that he has a contrarian idea about everything in life, from investing to the way he looks at things. And I give, like what? He says, well, for example, there could be a horrible thing such as 9/11. You know, when all these things happened to our country, he goes, well, you know, airline stock dropped, you know, considerably almost
sure.
to nothing.
Sure.
He goes, oh, I went and bought all the airline stock because I knew it would come back around. You know, if McDonald's has a mad cow scare disease and all their stocks drop, well, I realize that's a time to go in. It's called blood in the streets mentality. When I see
right.
people go one way, I go the other. And I realize that most of the successful people had that same philosophy.
Very good. Very good. Thoughts are things, turning your ideas into realities. Greg Reed on the line with me, and he is one insightful guy, and we're glad to have him on the program. We're going to grab a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the other part of this, which is the emotional component. Stay right there.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Reed on the line with me. He is a filmmaker, motivational speaker. I'm motivated just talking to him, to be honest with you. Best-selling author and entrepreneur, and he's written two books well, there's two we're going to talk about on the show. 50-some-odd books, I heard you say, Greg. I'm really impressed. I wrote two, and those two about killed me, so you, I admire what you've done. Talk to me about the emotional component of this thoughts or things concept and the writings you've done. When we start, you know, this process of having the right mindset and embracing some of these concepts that you talk about and then the interviews you share with very successful people in the book Thoughts or Things, my question is, you know, what about the emotional component?
It's interesting. One of the things you said earlier kind of hit it spot on. You talked about the knowing.
Yeah.
And one of the emotional aspects they all had was the knowing, meaning that they didn't hope or wish or believe. They knew in their heart of hearts that they were doing something that they were destined for. And I realized that that was one of the most amazing common denominators, that they found something that they'd sink their teeth in and they wouldn't give up no matter what.
The thing I was going to add to that was that you want to be passionate about whatever it is you're going to do.
Uh-huh.
And you know, this again, the challenge that people have where you talked about the monkey and the nut and trying to let go of maybe that job or whatever it is that is keeping you from fulfilling your goals or being all you can be, then part of that is this emotional component. I know from personal experience, it's one thing to have a logical outlook and perspective and know what are the right things and the right steps, all that logic. But if you don't have the emotional comfort level or the emotional IQ, not to overuse that, but if you just don't have the emotional piece of it, you've got to have that part really laid down as a foundation to...
I wish I could agree with you, but I can't.
Well, that's what I'm inviting you to do.
Yeah, I mean, every single person I interviewed, one of the greatest common denominators was I asked them, I said, hey, was there ever a time, you know, you just wanted to give up? And know what they all said? And it was so funny, and no one knows each other. They go, well, there was a time that I literally wanted to just pack my car, go to the bank, take all my money, and just bail. I go, you too? And they go, yeah. And they go, what happens is we seem to always hit a fork in the road, you know, that dead-end spot, and then we realize it's something called a cul-de-sac moment. And a cul-de-sac moment means is that what happens is that once you realize there's no way out, when you go in a cul-de-sac, it's either you're in or you're out. There's no through way. And he says sometimes what you have to do is decide whether you're going to just pass through or if you're going to actually set up your camp and say, I'm going to go all in. And it seems like everyone faced this emotional time, but not everyone was the most, quote-unquote, emotionally stable. What they were doing is they were scared to death. But successful people do something called the duck dive. I live here in San Diego, right along the ocean. And I realized that, you know, they do something kind of different. When a big, giant wave comes, they don't hold on to their surfboard. And as soon as the big wave crashes over them, it pushes them to the bottom of the sea. What they do is they take the tip of the board and they point it right to the belly of the wave, and as soon as the big wave comes, they go right into it, right underneath it, and they pop out on the other side. And they all said the same thing. You're scared, I'm scared, we're all scared. Just successful people do it anyway.
Well, and that's really the heart of what I was getting at, and you've answered the question, Greg. That was what I was after, is that trying to get this emotional, mental fortitude in place and say, okay, now I can handle anything that comes at me, and my emotions are not going to be in my way. It's the sticking to it, despite that, and going right, like you said, going right through it like the surfer in the wave.
And knowing what you're doing. You know, people, you talked about the other thing about passion.
Yeah.
Find your passion and the money will follow. That's another lie.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, you can be passionate and be all fired about something, but the realities are if you stink at it, you're not going to be successful. But what happens is that you watch American Idol, and these kids are full of passion, but
right.
most of them stink.
Right.
So passion alone, it does not create success for you. But it's passion plus talent. If you're passionate and you're talented, you got a God-given gift, you have a shot. But without taking action with that God-given gift, you're not going to make it. But if you have association and you have your passion plus your talent, you're willing to pay your dues, take action, align with somebody in the music industry who can open the door and have the faith that that's the journey you're destined for, those are the people that create a life of sustained abundance.
Okay. I can agree with that. That makes sense to me. So you talked about some of these successful leaders in our time that you've referred to. What are some of the traits, you know, again, sticking with it and persevering and dealing with all these things, what are some of the other traits that you've seen them display?
And the knowing.
And the
knowing keeps coming up, and
okay.
I'll tell you the reason why,
okay.
because it's a difference between being committed to something and being interested. If you start a brand new restaurant downtown because it's the hot new trend and you're interested in it, as soon as there's challenges, there's a high probability you'll fail. If you take over the family Italian restaurant for 8 generations, and as soon as you have those same exact challenges, you're going to more than likely find a way to see it through because you want to pass it to your next generation. You want to honor the people before you. So I realize that the people that are committed, they know what they're doing, and they know that they're not going to give up no matter what. They're the ones that see their dream become a reality.
Very good. Very good. Very good. I think it makes a lot of sense, Greg. I'm impressed. Greg Reed, ladies and gentlemen, filmmaker, motivational speaker, best-selling author. And I've got the two books we're talking about on my desk. I get to read them as soon as we finish. Thoughts or Things, Turning Your Ideas into Reality, and Stickability, The Power of Perseverance. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back with Greg and talk about some additional subjects. Stay right there.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thoughts Are Things, Turning Your Ideas into Reality. Greg Reed on the line with me. And I need to mention that, of course, that's available at Barnes & Noble and other fine retailers. And we're glad to have Greg on the line. I want to come back to, you know, we just left off there, Greg, with the idea that you've taken over the 8th generation of the family restaurant, and you're going to find a way to make it work when you run into some of these challenges. I want to kind of take that and merge that over to another topic or expand on the part about taking action. And you spoke to that before the break. Talk with us a little bit about what you've, with your interviews you've done with these people, and about that piece of it. You know, how do you see that the successes that have come with the action component, about what they do and how they pursue those opportunities and you know, leverage everything else that we talked about earlier, the action component?
Yeah, well, it's the action behind the attraction that makes your dream come true. You got to think it, you got to feel it. Ultimately, you got to get off your backside and you got to do something. And the way you do that is align yourself with people who are already getting the results you want. I'm giving an example.
Okay.
Just recently, my wife and I went to Africa and climbed and summited Mount Kilimanjaro. Now, I live out the beach in San Diego. I don't know anyone over there. So I got on the internet and I found the people that have summited 500, 600, 700 times. I hired that whole crew. Every time they put their boot print somewhere, I put my boot print in that same spot because I knew they'd make it to the top. When I wanted to become a best-selling author, I called every best-selling author. I went to Barnes & Noble, bought the book, said, will you teach me? They did. When I wanted to become a speaker, I asked the top people in the industry, will you teach me? They did. Now I'm making major motion pictures. I hang out with people that just won the Oscars for making movies because they did. And by surrounding yourself with the people who have already done what you want to do, you can start getting those same results. So the common theme of all great leaders is they have the courage to actually reach up, reach out to people that can assist them along the journey.
Excellent. So not necessarily recreating the wheel, or maybe if you want to do something that's new or different, leveraging what other people have done in a similar vein, somebody that's taken the risks that and have been there and already done that, so you can leverage that experience.
Exactly. I mean, Basically, there's always a mentor out there, somebody who can help guide you along life's journey, whatever it is. And you can have multiple mentors. You know, I got a tennis mentor. Today I play at 3 o'clock. I'm working on my backhand. But I'm not going to ask him about my financial advice. Same thing, I'm not going to ask my, you know, person for finances about my public speaking. I keep everything separate, and I look for the very best in each of those categories. And by picking their brain, you get the greatest results.
That's very good. This is a world of specialization more and more so. And so there are, as you said, it's not just one mentor. There could be multiple mentors in a lot of different areas.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's imperative that we go out and start seeking them. And all you got to do is find someone who's getting these. Look, if you're a brand new salesperson in real estate, all you got to do is go look around and see whoever's face is on the most, you know, bus benches and call that person up and say, hey, you know, will you teach me? Can I come work at your company? Can I get my desk next to you?
Hmm.
You know how honored that person would feel? And more importantly, you'd be learning from the person who's actually getting the results that ultimately you want to get. That's all it comes down to. And the most successful people are also the most available people.
Now, that's an irony. That's interesting. I didn't expect you to say that, because my natural thought was that that person might, you know, be shielded or protected or screened out to where you can't get to them. What makes them more available? Is that because they have more time?
Well, if you're brand new at something, you're happy-go-lucky, you're cool, you're fresh. If you're at the pinnacle of your field, you're happy-go-lucky, you got nothing to prove. If you're in the middle, pain in the ass. You're filled with ego. You're edging God out. You're finding your own voice.
Yeah.
So the most successful people truly are the most available because they have other people running the businesses so they can focus on life. And there's a big difference of working in your business and on your business. And the most successful people never work in their business. They're working on it. And they're also the most available because they want to pass on their wisdom, their knowledge. More importantly, that someone will actually apply it.
Hmm. Good stuff. I want to come to one of the stories I know that you share about, and we'll use this as kind of a nice bow around our discussion today, and that is the story of Brian Smith and UGG Boots. That'd be a nice example, I think, for what we've been talking about, how he started this company now, which I heard is a $1 billion company.
Well, yeah, it started out just as a regular guy. You know, he came from Australia and he's looking to start a new business and realized that sheepskin boots in, you know, Australia was commonplace, but in California and America, it was brand new. No one ever heard of it. So he started making them, and in the back of the car, he would sell them along the beaches. And, you know, he wasn't getting very far and he was still working so very difficultly. And finally, he started taking out ads in the local surfer magazines, and people still weren't buying it. And he was spending a fortune on these magazines ads, but no one was buying it. And finally, he went to these kids, I think they're 12 years old, and says, you know, would you buy these boots? And they said, no way. And they said, why? He says, well, look at the magazine. They're all pretty models and fancy people, because we're just regular surf rats.
Yeah.
And he had the aha. So then he hired all the top surfers, all the top skateboarders to start modeling those same shoes, and sales went through the roof. Later on, he ends up selling it for millions upon millions of dollars, and then it was taken from another generation, became the multi-billion-dollar industry, which it is today. And the moral is that he looked for that unexpected opportunity and that actually capitalized on it.
I tell you what, it's very interesting stuff, Greg. Translate this over a little bit to the money area in people's lives and how these concepts and the mindset we talked about earlier, how does that translate over into finance? Would that be, like you said earlier, about having that mentor in your financial area, or would it be how you approach your finances and how you go about making money?
Absolutely. And more importantly, it's interesting, one of the latest guys I ended up becoming good friends with, his name is Rob Angel. He invented a board game called Pictionary, if I remember that from back
sure.
in the day. And I asked him, I says, you know, what happened with this thing? He says, well, at night we'd come home, you know, from going to the bars and stuff through college. And he goes, we pull out a dictionary and we try to draw those words. And there's four of us that played this game. He goes, I had the idea to make it a board game, but no one else wanted to come along the ride. And he says, we made it such a success. He goes, once the money rolled in, he goes, I didn't know what to do with it. So I found a mentor, someone who did all the board games for Trivia Pursuit. I called him up and says, what do I do with all this money? And they said, here's what you do, and told him where to place his cash. He did that, and it was a very low interest yield thing, something at 26 years old you'd never do, but he just followed the counsel of someone who was much older and smarter than him. Well, he's lived his entire life without working one day, still living off that money, and still has millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars left in residual income right in his bank account.
All starting with just an idea, the concept, and then as was demonstrated by the three that didn't go along with them, with the idea and then putting the action behind it.
Correct. It's the action behind the attraction that makes your dreams come true.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's great. It's good stuff. It's just it makes so much sense. I'm impressed with it. Greg Reed, ladies and gentlemen, filmmaker, motivational speaker, best-selling author. And he's written two books out of, well, we're talking about two of the 45 books that have been published, 28 bestsellers, five motion pictures, and featured in countless magazines. Now, what's next for you, Greg? You're headed into more of the filmmaking?
Yeah, I am. One of the people I met along the journey is a guy named Frank Shankwitz, who founded a nonprofit that changed the world called Make a Wish. And he and I have become extremely good allies. And I asked him, I says, you know, what's your wish? And he goes, you know what? No one's ever asked me that. And I says, well, what is it? He says, I'd like my story to be told. This is great. So I know nothing about movies, so I ended up asking Gary Goldstein, who produced Pretty Woman and Mothman Prophecies and Under Siege, and said, teach me. And then I met this other guy, Phil Goldfein, who just won the Academy Award for producing films. And I says, you guys, show me the way. And so I made a great team, and right now we're producing it, putting it together, and we should be filming later on this year a movie called Wishman, which will be this true life story based on his life story of how it all came to be.
Fascinating. Good luck with your project. That sounds great. The books, Thoughts Are Things, Turning Your Ideas into Reality, and Stickability, The Power of Perseverance, a Barnes & Noble and other fine retailers. Greg, I want to thank you very much for being on our program today.
Rock and roll. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.